There's something about our coming together and our willingness to intentionally say, God, we want to experience you in a place that many of us wouldn't normally just go to. But what we're doing is we are intentionally modeling kingdom. We are intentionally pressing into kingdom. I shared a few statements last week that I want to start with, and then I want to pick up into what I felt like the Lord told me to really focus on today. And our message today is we are lively stones, not preformed bricks. We are lively stones, not preformed bricks. So that's why you see these bricks up here, if you're wondering. It's great to have visuals. And I was going to have like some stones over here, but I couldn't find the stones big enough. I didn't want to have make like little pebbles up here. So I figured what we would use for our stones is this incredible stone that's already here. So every now and then, you know, I'm going to point to that and just act like you're looking at that, because that's going to be our reference point of the incredible stonework that I want us to focus on here. Because we are lively stones. Say, we are lively stones, not preformed bricks. And so last week I was talking about, and I'm still going to be talking about, the thought of living the kingdom life Jesus died for. What I've come to believe, and I believe it to be a reality, is that you and I have a choice as to how much of kingdom we experience in our life here. The wonderful thing about those that were baptized today, they were baptized in Christ, into Christ, but they were baptized into the kingdom of God. They were baptized into the kingdom of God. And that's the wonderful thing, that while you and I are here, we are in his kingdom. We are part of the kingdom of God. And if we understand that, we begin to live our lives out of that place of kingdom, which is sometimes different than church life. Isn't that right, Pastor Kim? Yeah, it's different than church life. And so there's some statements I made last week from a gentleman, Jack R. Taylor's book, Cosmic Initiative, Restoring the Kingdom, Igniting the Awakening. And so I want to share those thoughts again. They go like this: the kingdom is not the church, and it never will be. You might need a different slide, background up there for them to see that, because it's kind of hard for me to read it on that screen. So if you need to drop that background, would you just give a hand to the people up there running the video? See, that's the kind of cooperation you need, like right on the spot. That was great. The church is not the kingdom, and it never has been. They are not synonymous. They are not synonymous. Is it possible that you can go to church and never experience kingdom? Yeah. You can go to church but never really experience kingdom. I need you to think about that for a minute. Because if we're going to live the life, the kingdom life Jesus died for, we're going to have to begin to focus on kingdom. What that looks like, what it feels like, how it's supposed to be walked out, how it's supposed to be lived out. Second statement is this: the kingdom and the church are not equivalent. The kingdom has existed from eternity, while the church came into being at Pentecost. The kingdom is already established. The church is under construction. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. The church is under construction. The kingdom is perfect. The church is being perfected. The kingdom does not fit within the church. The church fits within the kingdom. Lastly, the church must never be perceived as complete without the kingdom, while the kingdom is completed by the church that Jesus is building. The kingdom will never be understood until it is acknowledged as the whole of which the church is a part. The church will never be understood until it is perceived to be connected with the kingdom as its earthly expression. One of the things that I said last week as well, out of Acts chapter 1, verse 1 through 8, it says Jesus was on the earth for 40 days, and the 40 days that he was on the earth, he spoke to them about his kingdom. He spoke to them about the kingdom. He didn't speak to them about church planting. He didn't speak to them about how to raise funds to build the building, pay for the property. He talked to them about the kingdom. And the reality of the kingdom, the revelation of the kingdom, the embracing of the kingdom, the living out of kingdom is what helps us to live in a place where we can see that God has made provision for his church, which is part of the kingdom. That's why in Matthew, the sixth chapter, when he talks about don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Look at the birds that are taken care of. Look at the flowers that bloom. All of that happens because God is in charge. And then he says this, what you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Meaning that it's already taken care of in the kingdom. Would you say with me, my answers lie in the kingdom. My answers lie in the kingdom. And so I found myself this week thinking about this thought, because last week I moved into it somewhat, but I want to be a little more intentional as it relates to us as being lively stones, not preformed bricks. I'm of the persuasion that denominations produce bricks, or they have the potential to produce bricks. They produce the people, individuals, that all look the same. Now, I live in a house that has brick on it, and most of you live in a brick house, and maybe some of you live in stone houses as well. And they all have their place. But when the scripture talks about Christ and the body of Christ, it never talks about us as being bricks. It talks about us as being lively stones. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10, this is what it says. And coming to him as to a living stone, which he has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It goes on and says this, for this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone. And he who believes in him will not be disappointed. The precious value then, this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, it says, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 11 and 12 says this. He is the stone. This is Peter talking to those that gathered. He is now preaching to them the gospel. He says, he, meaning Jesus, is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. You see, Jesus was rejected because he didn't look like what they expected the Savior to look like. And we have to be so careful, because if we're not intentional, we want to relate to one another as preformed bricks and not as living stones. The beauty of being able to be up here on the platform and leading worship, and Nathaniel and I next to each other, and my guy back on guitar, and the brother on keyboards back there, and you see the diversity, you see lively stones together. Not preformed bricks. And there is broader expression that comes out of me letting you be you and you letting me be me in God. Sometimes we miss out. I was so blessed, and I want to say, Nathaniel, I was blessed that in last service, you know, you chose to play one of the songs that I wrote as you ended out your service. That blessed me, because what that models is, it models being able to say, we don't have it all. Our church doesn't have it all. Our denomination doesn't have it all. And the challenge that we deal with today in the body of Christ is that we have all these very denominations and theological preferences who think they have the corner on God and on the kingdom, when they don't. There's something about being able to focus on kingdom that moves us away from living out our Christianity as bricks and beginning to live as lively stones. One of the things I like about these stone pillars is when you look at them, there's no two stones exactly alike. Now, I have the kind of mind that when I look at things like this, I start looking for patterns. Does anybody else do that? Is it just me? Okay, we're all kind of quirky. Some of us kind of quirky. I look and I say, now, is there another spot that looks exactly like a spot? Like the one I'm looking at. And if I'm not careful, Barbara, I'll look for 20 minutes trying to find a connection. So I'll look over there, then I'll look over there. Now, I don't have to look very far here to see, well, these are bricks. This is a cousin to this one. This might be a brother to this one. That's the sister, mother, father, you know, just bricks, bricks, bricks. They all look the same. They may have come out of the same mold. But none of us did. But none of us did. And somewhere in it, I believe God is wanting to get a message to all of us to help us so that we can experience what he's doing today that is completely different than maybe what we grew up in. Now, my journey in church is that I grew up in a number of different denominations. I was kind of like a spiritual Bhagavan. Bhagavan is not a good word. What's another word for someone that's on a journey? Come on, wordsmith. What's another word for nomad? Sojourner, thank you. That sounds kind of spiritual too. I was like a spiritual sojourner. So my mother took me to church. I'm grateful for that because she introduced me to the love of Christ. But that was in the Methodist church. Now hear me. I'm not trying to ride on any. Okay, I'm just telling you my journey, okay? But I remember when they was trying to make me into a Methodist. Okay. And now hear me, and it wasn't bad, it just wasn't for me. So they were able to see, man, he's got skills, he's got some gifts. So they wanted to pay to send me to the Methodist Theological Seminary so that I could be a Methodist pastor. But it just didn't feel right, just didn't feel right. So when I shared that with them, you know, they got less enthusiastic about my involvement in what they were doing, and I understood that because you see, Jesus was rejected. As a matter of fact, you know, I love the way Nathaniel said that from Malachi there was 400 years of silence, but there was this expectation that he's coming. One of the challenges that we often face, brothers and sisters, is that we pray and we ask God for help. And when help shows up, but the help doesn't look like what you think it ought to look like or what you thought it was going to look like, how many of you can miss God on that? Because what we don't realize is he's sending you lively stones, not bricks. He's sending lively stones, not bricks. That's one of the challenges of pastoring a church, Pastor Ken, is that we deal with lively stones and not bricks. God would, if everybody was just a brick, we'd be good. But we're lively stones. And we're as lively as the lively stones. That's just the reality. And God, by God's grace, we learn to navigate through it. But Jesus was rejected. And this is what it says in Isaiah 53. And I'm reading from the Message Bible. It says, who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. You see, they didn't recognize that what God is working with, what our Father is working with, is not bricks, but lively stones. And when he who would be the chief cornerstone showed up, the Savior of the world, they missed it because they thought he had to come this way, look this way. And I want to encourage us as we are now intentionally pressing in saying, God, we really do want you. And we want all of you. And we don't care what it looks like. We just really want you. Okay, maybe I'm the only one. I just really want you. But I know what the body of Christ is supposed to look like. I've been enough places to see it in other places. And I believe God wants to bring to Hamilton. He wants to bring to Fairfield. He wants to bring to Trenton. He wants to bring to Butler County. And the expression, that's intentional. Oh, that's intentional. You see, in the building of a stone wall, let me just share a few things that I Googled and found out. You know, next to the Bible is Google. When you want to find things out. And so I said some things last week that I wasn't sure that it was right. So I Googled to make sure because I was speaking revelatory. And you don't want to say things, and my body, Ayers knows, if I mess, I'll come back and tell you that was wrong. Or I'll tell you I was wrong and tell you what's right. But thank God last week wasn't one of them. Okay, so... But I want you to listen to these points right here. Construction of brick masonry is quick, as the uniform size and regular shape of bricks facilitates in maintaining proper alignment. Whereas the dressing and handling of stone need more time, extra labor in the construction of stone masonry. See, when you're doing bricks, and I shared this last week, all you have to do is strike a chalk line, you take where you want to put it, and you put a chalk line out, you put a line out, and you start laying the bricks until you get to that chalk line. That's how you make sure it stays level. When you get above it, you can take it and you can snap it, and it gives you a reference point as to how level it is. With stone, though, it's different. Stonewalling and cladding of wall with stone is a slow, laborious job. It requires a lot of skill and patience and Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not in there. I'm sorry. I got it. Yeah. that many enthusiastic self-builders may not have. Oh, my God. See, you can feel you're called, anointed, appointed, everything. But if you don't recognize you're dealing with lively stones and not bricks, you can go a good year, maybe 2 years, maybe three at the most, but then you're looking for the next calling, you're looking for the next plan, because you realize this takes a whole lot more than what I had in mind. Let me just read that one again, because that's a good one right there. Stonewalling and cladding a wall with stone is a slow, laborious job, requires a lot of skill and patience that many enthusiastic self-builders may not have. And above all, it is highly physically demanding. It is highly physically demanding. It goes on and says this. It says, skilled masons are required for stone masonry construction, whereas unskilled laymen can do the brick masonry work. So I was asked to do some brick masonry work because I didn't have to be skilled to do it. And I didn't do it all that well. That's why I'm here, not... No, I'm called to be here. This is my assignment. Brick masonry requires... Listen to this now. Brick masonry requires less mortar, whereas stone masonry requires more mortar, which cannot be easily estimated. Now, I want us to liken the mortar let me read this scripture first. Colossians 1, 13 through 18. Says this, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible,
whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, here we go, all things have been created through him and for him. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Going back, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You see, everybody has a place in the body. As lively stones, though, it is the master builder who has the eye for every placement. And if we were to use symbolism, and all of that is held together by mortar. We are held together by Christ. All of that is held together by mortar. And as it says here, and it says, when building bricks, it doesn't take a lot of Holy Spirit. Doesn't take a lot of Holy Spirit. Building bricks, laying bricks. But how many of y'all know it takes a whole lot of, it takes a whole lot of Holy Ghost. Okay, we're just going, yeah. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, okay, just whatever. Yeah, Holy Ghost, that's just something, yeah. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'm going to quit joking. But it says, but you never really know how much till you start laying the stone. Now, I know enough about laying bricks to know that you can know how much mortar between each one. But when you look at these stones, I'm going to walk up here. Can y'all move that spotlight up here? Can that spotlight move over here? So, okay. This is a lovely stone pillar. But when you look at it, you recognize that there's more mortar here than there is right here. There's more mortar here than we see down here. But it's all there to hold it all together. We are lively stones held together by the Holy Spirit, by Christ. And maybe you look at it and you see there's this big stone and there's one here, but there's also one here. There's a real small one right there. There's a real small one right here. Small one here, then a big one, then a real big one right here, and so on and so on. And someone, in putting this in place, had the eye to know where to place each stone. So it is in the church, the body of Christ, as living stones. It is he who knows where to place each one of us. And if we will remain open and say, God, give me eyes to see what you as the master builder see. Help me not to get ahead of your process, get ahead of your timing. In the building of a brick wall, brick fence or whatever wall, you can pick up any brick because they're made the same and begin to set them in place. You don't have to think about it. They're all the same. You just lay them in. However, when it comes to stone, the stone masonry has to be able to look at each stone uniquely in order to see where it fits. And sometimes he can pick a stone up and recognize it doesn't fit right now. so he sets it back. But he has view of where it will fit later on in the building process. We are held together by Christ in the person of Holy Spirit. When we endeavor to be a more perfect expression of kingdom, it's going to take more mortar. It's going to take more Holy Spirit. And if we remain open to how he wants to use us and how he wants to place us, then we can become a beautiful expression of the kingdom of God here on earth. The beauty of the church is in its diverse expressions. You see, the church is the physical manifestation of the kingdom of God in the earth. And I believe that God our Father looks on this and he is pleased. Because he's saying, this is always what I intended for it to be. There is strength that comes from combining our unique differences that is not found in uniformity. You see, this is uniformity. You can have unity without uniformity. You can have unity without uniformity. And in Christ, that's the way that it's supposed to be. Jesus did not go out and choose 12 disciples who were all the same. He got some fishermen. He got some tax collectors. He got one guy who was just straight up radical. I think it was James, the zealot. He just had an attitude against the status quo. And Jesus says, come on, be with me. See, in the kingdom, you need a little bit of everybody. You need those ready to fight. You need those ready to pray. You need those ready to work. You need those ready to work. I just thought I'd really emphasize that a few times. But in closing, let me say this. God is the master builder. He knows everything. And he is working in us in order to bring about a more perfect expression of kingdom. Because here's the truth. Jesus did not die so we could go to church. He died so that we would become his church. He is the one building his church. And he's building it one stone at a time. One stone at a time. Father, help us to find our place in you. We need to move away from the thought and the question we ask people, where do you go to church? The question is not where do you go to church, but rather, as the church, where are you manifesting, advancing his kingdom? What is your kingdom assignment? Where is your kingdom assignment?